officially open.
Spain and Company, countdown to the NFL draft.
Teron, thanks for joining us. Let's talk about this Titans team. We're doing this in reverse order, sort of based on success. And if you told me at the beginning of last year, Titans would have been one of the teams to go the farthest, I don't know that I would have believed you. Things really worked out last year. What are they missing? What is the position of need as they look to next season?
I think really at this point, the position of need is nickel corner. That's one of the areas that they have to address, as well as pass rushers. So there will be two positions of need, in my opinion.
Teron, defensively, as we look at spots to fill, you could argue defensive coordinator is one of those spots that might need to be filled with this Titans team. We know Mike Vrabel's desire to lean into that position and the uncertainty with that role still being open. How will that be approached going into the 2020 season?
Well, as you mentioned, Jordan, Mike Vrabel is going to become more involved with the defense. He, if you watch him during a day of practice, you'll see him go to every single position. But I think install period, that's where he's going to work more on the defense and just get that game plan together. Losing Dean Pease is a big-time loss for them. But what they did was add experience in inside linebacker coach Jim Haslett. So that'll help them as well. It's going to be a group effort, in my opinion. I don't think they hire a defensive coordinator.
Teron, I'm curious what the Titans have already done in free agency this offseason. We obviously know the big deals, but kind of sum up for us what they've shored up or maybe said goodbye to.
Well, I think what they said goodbye to is really big. And Jarrell Casey, trading him to the Denver Broncos for a seventh-round pick that got a big cap number off of the books, but now you have another position you have to address. So that's something that I'm sure they're going to look at doing in the draft. But when you look at guys that they brought in, Vic Beasley will probably be the one that has been the best option for them from a pass rusher perspective. They brought back Kamale Correa, who had, what is it, six sacks in the final eight games, including the playoffs. So they did some things to help out there, but they still need more help on the pass rusher because they have to find ways to impact the quarterback. And that AFC championship game, that really showed. But if you look overall offensively, the theme has been continuity. They brought back Derrick Henry, and they're working on a long-term deal for him. And then they signed Ryan Tannehill to a long-term deal. They'll also have to consider whether or not they'll give the fifth-year option to Corey Davis. I don't think they do that, but they have Henry and Tannehill, and that's what they need the most along with A.J. Brown.
How does this Derrick Henry negotiation play out in your eyes, Teron?
Well, I'll tell you how it plays out. I don't think they consider Derrick Henry solely a running back. I think when they're negotiating this and they're looking at it, I think they're viewing it from a perspective of this guy accounted for 30% of their offense last season. I think that's how they're looking at it. This guy, up until the AFC Championship game, was 69% of their offense. So I think they're looking at it from a playmaker and an impact player perspective as opposed to just a running back. That being said, obviously, you know the sticker that's placed on running backs, do not pay. I think in this case, they're going to pay him money. And one of the aspects, whether it be average per year for the contract or guaranteed money, one of those is going to be higher than Ezekiel Elliott, in my opinion, because I don't think Derrick Henry's agent is going to take any shorts. And they're looking to set a mark with this deal, especially with him coming off of the season that he just had.
It's Spain and Company. Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornett on ESPN Radio talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. What impact do you think that really healthy Ryan Tannehill contract has on their flexibility this offseason?
I think it has flexibility because although it has that $118 million number with it, this year the cap number is a bit lower. You know, it shows on the books that it's an average of $29.5 million, but this year it's only 24. So in the big picture, as far as looking at it compared to other quarterback contracts, it gives them the ability to still go out and make some moves. I don't think it hampered them at all.
Teron, why are you out here teasing these Titans fans with this Jordan Love post on your timeline, man? You just signed Ryan Tannehill to this long-term deal. Do you think there's a possibility, as we just talked to Rob Dombrowski with the Packers about maybe getting Jordan Love, if he's still there, to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers? Is there a possibility for that to be the heir apparent down there to Tannehill?
I don't think they would look at drafting Jordan Love. I actually don't think he'll be there at 29, to tell you the truth. I put those posts on because I have a show here at the ESPN affiliate in Nashville, and Jordan Love is going to be one of my guests tomorrow. I just happen to really, really like his game. So I was just putting it out there. I like to drop nuggets at different players.
You're teasing a fan base down there, though, man. You're teasing that fan base. Get them worked up.
It's Spain and Company. We're talking to Teron Davenport about this Titans team ahead of the draft. They do have the 29th pick. If not Love, what are some of the names you are hearing that they might be looking at?
Yeah, well, there are three names. When you look at the cornerback position, as I mentioned, they're looking at Jeff Gladney. I think he's a guy that could come in and play for them. He fits their style of play, that aggressiveness. He's a guy that could play that nickel spot, but he also gives you the speed to turn and run with some of the faster receivers. And then you look at along the defensive line, Marlon Davidson is a guy that I know they've met with in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. They talked to him. They had an informal with him at the Combine, and he's someone that could come in. He could play that zero if you need to, but more importantly, he could play the 3-5 or stand up and rush the passer that way, which gives you the versatility that you lost in Jarrell Casey. So he's a guy that you put him on that line with Jeffrey Simmons and Daquan Jones. I think he has something there. But then lastly, you have to look at tackle. Although they signed Dennis Kelly, I could see them, if a guy like Josh Jones is there from Houston, who was there for one of their top 30 visits before everything was shut down, I could see them drafting that guy. And you're talking about, you know, everybody calls Deebo Samuel. They call him Deebo. Well, if you watch Josh Jones' play last year, he earned that name too, because there were quite a few defensive linemen putting their jewelry away when he came around. So he's a big-time blocker, and I could see them going that route.
I like that. Teron, you know, when we do in the preseason, we always talk about, you know, where a team, if they do stumble, where it will lie. And a lot of people go back to quarterback play. So knowing that that's a given, Ryan Tannehill can't have a drop-off if this team were to succeed. If the struggle does happen, removing Tannehill, where would the struggle come from in a Titans team that makes them proven to be vulnerable?
That's a tough question, because I think Tannehill actually has some room for a bit of drop-off. What he did last year was ridiculous as far as a completion percentage of over 70%, averaging over 9 yards per completion. I think they could afford some drop-off there. In my opinion, I still think Derrick Henry has to dominate. And if he doesn't dominate the way he did last year, I think they're going to have a problem, because that offense is all predicated upon him being able to run that football. That play action, the way that 8 in the box sets up 1-on-1 on the outside for A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, I think that's where it has to happen. They have to be able to run the ball effectively if that offense is going to keep clicking the way it did last year.
One last quick question for you. It's Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter with us here on ESPN Radio. Have you spoken much to the front office, and what are their concerns about the virtual draft?
The concerns are just the communication, right? It's going to be a little bit different than having everybody in the same room, and that's the main concern. They're going to work through either Zoom or BlueJeans, one of those options. That's what they're going to have to do now. When we talked to John Robinson on the conference call, he mentioned Zoom and just having to do it remotely. So that's going to be the issue, and I think it's a big issue for everyone across the league.